Just going to pray before turning to scripture. And if you want to just get comfortable, or maybe not get comfortable, sit on the edge of your seats in anticipation, and have your pens, paper for those taking notes, or get your digital version of the Bible. Let's prepare our hearts, as we already have been this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you again for this incredible gift to be able to join together as your people, to worship through sung music, some words, to respond through listening and engaging with your words, your scripture, your truth, and then sharing in the greatest meal in remembrance of Jesus, what you did for each and every one of us. What a phenomenal blessing and privilege to spend this time together. Lord, I pray what is not of you will fall away, that these words that are just man's words would not take root. And Lord, I pray that what is of you, your words, your truth in preparation for this morning, would take root, and that you would nurture and water these heavenly seeds into fruition in our lives and in others' lives as we carry your word of truth to those in our very community. Thank you, Jesus. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm just going to grab... Oh, no, do I... I'm sorry, but this brought me a bit of... It's a clicker for those who are listening. I'm going to get there. Okay, so we're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm actually going to read the whole right up until verse 17. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 to 17. For we know that if our earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal dwelling in the heavens, not made with hands. Indeed, we groan in this tent, desiring to put on our heavenly dwelling. Since when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Indeed, we groan while we are in this tent, burdened as we are, because we do not want to be unclothed, but clothed, so that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment. So we are always confident and know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. In fact, we are confident, and we will prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, since we know the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade people. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to be proud of us, so that you may have a reply for those who take pride in outward appearance rather than in the heart. For we are out of our mind, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, since we have reached this conclusion that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. From now on, then, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Okay, wow. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. So a little bit of context here with regards to why I read the whole kind of what is going on. So we have the church in Corinth and Paul writing in this context to the church in Corinth. The Corinthian church was fractured by pride, worldly wisdom, and skepticism towards Paul's leadership. Paul responds with profound theology that reorientates believers to their identity in Christ. And in this sermon series of how do we cope with changes and challenges, and it often comes back to that transformation from in the heart, from the inside out. And our identity, first and foremost, being in Christ, new creation. But also, what is our role in God's redemptive plan, that grand narrative of the Bible, God's redemptive heart and message. So this passage challenges us to see life through the lens of eternity and embrace our calling as agents of Christ's reconciliation. Whoa. That's quite meaty. That's a bit, whoa. So that's a little bit of context. Okay, so I did just press down. Oh, not again. Oh, it has. I'm looking at my thing and it's not moving because it's not connected on there. Oh, I will get there. I'm supposed to be a techie as well. It's not happening. Okay, so that eternal perspective from earthly tent to heavenly dwelling. So the earthly tent, guess what this is? Okay, for those listening, it's a tent and you can pop it up and go, wah! That didn't work at all. It just went flat on its back. But earthly tents, great. An earthly tent, often we refer to, so the earthly tent where Christ dwells in our hearts, yes. But that's perishable. And in context here, so let's just watch a brief video of a tent. It's in a storm. I wonder what's going to happen. There is audio, but it's fine. Oh! Oh! The tent. Hey! Look at that. So for those who are not able to see the video, we have effectively a video showing of a big white marquee tent, and it's in a storm, and the storm comes and it just gets blown away. Look at that. So earthly tents, they're temporary. Our life on this earth is temporary. Our bodies are temporary. They are amazing physical bodies, but they get a bit broken. They get a little bit damaged. Things stop working, or things stop working altogether. We are fragile, and we are destined to perish. That's the earthly perspective. But then heaven's perspective. Cool, that eternal lens is incredible. We have a hope right at the center. Why are we a Christian? I was speaking to somebody this week, and that question came up, but what's the point? You know, things come our way, it's hard, it's tough, it's awful, hell on earth. I'm a Christian, but oh. But you know, we have a hope and an assurance of a future. We are a work in progress. What is earthly will fade away, destined to perish. But when we accept Christ as Lord and Saviour, we have a hope, an eternal hope. The Holy Spirit has been given, it says as a down payment in this translation, but it's a promise of what is to come. Heaven on earth can be a reality in our very small concept of what heaven is. But that eternal perspective, that heavenly journey, that heavenly heart posture, what a hope. When it all seems like we're falling apart, crumbling, and it's not worth living anymore. Knowing Jesus in our hearts, being transformed from the inside out. Yes, our circumstances can be rubbish, but that hope for a future, that is what we hold on to. So a question here, am I investing in what is eternal law, eternal space, or clinging to temporary comforts? I'll just let that settle for a moment. Now, it's quite self-explanatory, but temporary comforts. We can't take things with us when we die. They will remain on this earth. So are we investing in what is eternal or clinging to temporary comforts? Okay, let's move on. So the compelling love of Christ. Motivation for ministry. Motivation to help us to be motivated. The compelling love of Christ. Okay, here we go. Bit of Greek. You never know how much to put in. There's Greek words for everything. But 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 15. Synecheo. I think I might have said that right. But it means compels. Compels. So we read here in the passage that this transformed life compels the disciples to follow Jesus. And it's a really gripping word. Gripping. I do like my visual aids. Gripping. I've got one of these hand grips that strengthens your, tendons. But that gripping, that holding on. There's going to be a tension. There will be a tension because the enemy does not want us to be holding on to truth, the truth of the gospel message, Jesus. But are we really gripped? Are we really grabbing hold of the truth of Jesus? Or is it a little bit too much of an effort? I don't really want to do that. Oh, it's a bit difficult to live for Christ because it means I have to give up certain stuff or I have to live in a certain way. Oh, no. Grips that confidence and assurance. In Christ's love, the driving force behind your decisions, relationships, service. Is Christ's compelling love really gripping us, which is informing that perspective in all these decisions we're making? Another question or thought, how might your life look different if you lived for him who died and was raised? That resurrection, that's a great word. It is a good word, resurrection. But that resurrected life, how might that be changed? Synecheo compels. Not to live for ourselves, but to live for Christ is gain. That's where we should, our focus should be. Okay, and then the ministry of reconciliation. Ambassadors of a new creation. Ambassadors. That's a great word, to be an ambassador. That's a lot of trust placed in that person when you're an ambassador. But to be an ambassador of a new creation, Christ gifts us with this responsibility. When we really surrender to him, we can be ambassadors of his kingdom. Wow. 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 That's amazing. That is just what a privilege. And then in Christ, we are that new creation. There's that transformation. And in Christ, that heavenly perspective, the supernatural rebirth, being born again into Christ's kingdom. Wow, that was great timing. Now, somebody, I won't name names, but have you seen, I've actually yet to have a go on these things, but these seem to be becoming more and more popular. And it could be where we're heading in society, but I don't want to speak that out. This is a VR headset, a virtual reality headset. And I don't want to mess, it's not actually on, it won't be connected. But you put this on, and it's all virtual reality, and you can control where you walk. It really is quite incredible from what I've watched. I haven't actually used one yet. But you can play games, you can interact with a whole virtual world by popping this on. And it's like, wow, you become a whole different person. Your avatar, your created person becomes your identity in this online world. And your vision and what you see, you actually see a whole new reality. And you walk around. There's films that show different suits that you can wear that has feedback. So if you get shot, then you're going to get feedback. And that's a reality. So this is actually a real reality in today's world we live in. This is not new technology. This has been around for quite a while now. The VR, the virtual world. But it's becoming more realistic. It's becoming more accessible. But actually, the lens that we wear, the spiritual lens, the heavenly perspective lens, the real reality of a heavenly reality, that's the most important lens that we can ever be, what's the word, attaining, what's the word, trying to reach. Aspiring, thank you, trying to be aspiring to. It's that heaven's perspective. Because in Christ, we are a new creation. That resurrection hope. A radical, radical transformation. This is not self-improvement. There's a lot of self-help books out there. I've read quite a few. And they often tend to have the same sort of thread. This isn't about self-improvement for our own benefit, but a supernatural rebirth, a heavenly rebirth that truly affects us from the inside to be a blessing, to be that ambassador of Christ to those around us. I mean, wow, that excites me on one hand, but it's also a deep challenge on the other. It's like, phew. But we can do this together. We all have our own certain lens that Christ wants us to live by. There's a fundamental truth at the very core that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, but how that's expressed through us from the inside out is different in different contexts. The same heart, the same fruit, but expressed perhaps through a different language, different contexts. It's the same challenge, but are we ready to be a part of this challenge? Okay. Do you see yourself and others through the lens of Christ's redemptive work? I think I might have said this already, or somebody else may have said this at some point in the last few weeks. You know those difficult, awkward people that you want to go, God, please take them away, sort them out. Oh, they do my head in. You're looking, of course, Emmanuel, you never have that thought. No, he's like, what are you talking about? Wow, I need to spend more time with you. But you have those people that just do your head in sometimes, and you think, but are we seeing them through the lens of Christ's redemptive work? Or are we seeing them through the lens of our own frustrations and niggles and, it can get tense. And actually, there's a massive mirror. Do we see ourselves through the lens of Christ's redemptive work? Or do we see ourselves as failures or insert anything else? How can we, you, I, actively embody reconciliation in our family, workplace, or community? Key word there, actively. I'll just let that pause. So a little bit of a wrap-up conclusion. Living as new creations. Living as new creations. It's a bit small, apologies, but I'll read it out. Oh, no, it's not on there. Life with resurrection hope. Our present struggles are temporary. Our future is secure. Be compelled by Christ's love, that grip, that compulsion. His sacrifice redefines our purpose and priorities. And then embrace our identity as new creations. We are ambassadors, commissioned to proclaim and practice reconciliation. Yeah. Yeah. So do we want to be citizens of eternity? Agents of reconciliation? Not for our gain. Not to puff ourselves up. To go, yes. Look at me. No. Look at Christ. Look how Jesus is transforming this broken, fragile, dying life into a life full of hope, a resurrection hope, a life full of transformation, of a heavenly transformation. Whoa, that's exciting. That's where we find that joy and that hope. And assurance. So the world offers fleeting solutions to brokenness. Fleeting solutions. But in Christ, we carry the transformative power of the gospel. We have that to be able to offer to others. That powerful, transformative gift. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, open our eyes to the eternal weight of your glory that you've prepared for each and every one of us. May you renew our hearts by your love and empower us to walk as new creations, boldly sharing your reconciling grace. Lord, may you open our eyes to those areas that we know we are battling and struggling with. Ultimately, help us to recognize that you are our source of hope and assurance, that we have a future with you for eternity. Lord, may you help us to put on, to wear, to maybe allow you to cleanse those lenses, the lens of heaven, the heavenly perspective that drives us, that grips us to live in this world, but to not be of the world. Lord, may you help us to recognize that we are frail, that we are destined, we're in mortal bodies, we're destined to die, that we are broken in our sin. But help us to hold on to you, to surrender to you, so that we can be ambassadors of your gospel transformative message. In whatever context that may be. And for Lord, for those who are housebound, homebound, hospital bound, for those whose bodies have just broken to the point where there's stagnation. Lord, may you truly bring a fresh hope in our hearts to know that we're not forgotten, we're not sidelined, but to know that we have a purpose in you and in your kingdom, to know that we have that eternal glory to come, and to know that you are still working in our hearts to be transformed, to be more like you. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.